This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. We seek Him, we praise Him, we seek His assistance, and we ask His forgiveness. We seek Allah's protection from the evil of our souls and the bad consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can misguide. And in contrary, whoever Allah leaves astray, there's no one can guide him. And I bear witness that is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah. And that Muhammad bin Abdullah is the final messenger and his prophet and his servant sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O you who have believed, fear Allah as He has the right to be feared, and do not die except in the state of Islam. As to what follows, the best speech is the speech of Allah, the Kalamullah, the Kitabullah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And beware of new invented matters in the deen. All of the newly invented matters are innovations, and innovations are astray, and all of the astray will lead to the hellfire. Wal'iyadhu billah. Brothers and sisters, Alhamdulillah, we never fail to praise Allah Azza wa Jalla, Lord of the worlds, the sender of all prophets, the revealer of truth, and the giver of all bounties. Alhamdulillah, all of the ni'mah and the blessings that we have received so far, alhamdulillah, from the time we were in the alam of ruh until now, alhamdulillah, we have lived for maybe most of it is 40 years, 50 years, maybe 60 years among some of you. So alhamdulillah, we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all of these bounties, for all of this opportunity that we still have, that we can please Him in this life. And inshallah, all of these will be our rations, our things that we're going to take into the akhirah, inshallah. And being too engaged in this world, alhamdulillah, we are very, very busy, alhamdulillah, with our daily chores, daily routines. And sometimes we lost track of time. And you can see nowadays, taqarabuz zaman, the time is getting really fast. Suddenly you realize 1 week is just like a breeze. And suddenly it is Sunday again, and you see my face again. Alhamdulillah. And the demands of the dunya, subhanallah, the demands of the dunya sometimes takes upon us the toll upon us. Alhamdulillah, I don't know what to say, Alhamdulillah or A'udhu Billah. But occasionally, sometimes we will tend to prioritize the world more than our akhirah. You can see as our ages increases, as our responsibility increases, we tend to prioritize the dunya more. Because we can see the value of the dunya that we strive for immediately. After we, for example, get a hard work in our workplace, alhamdulillah, we get the salary at the end of the month. Alhamdulillah. In contrary to the achievements of our akhirah, sometimes we cannot see it. Most of it, we couldn't see it in this life. That, for example, where is my reward when I recite Quran? That the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qara'a harfan min kitabillah falahu bihi hasana." Whoever recites one harf from the Quran, for him is a hasana, a good deed. Wal hasanatu bi ashri amthaliha, and the good deed will be multiplied into 10. So where is my? I don't see. Now in my pocket, it doesn't grow. My deeds in my pocket or in my bank account. So these things sometimes make us, you know, sometimes people will say, out of sight, out of mind, right? So people think that, oh, we don't see it and we cannot feel it. So this is one of the tests for us, the test of iman. One of the characteristics of those who believe in Allah is just الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. And of course, as our age increase, now we have school to attend and we have exams to do. Now we are in universities, we have to do assignments, we have to complete our degree before a certain age. And now we are at a workplace, we are having a job, daily jobs. We are very, very busy to complete tasks, to complete jobs, to complete projects. And now we are married, we have kids. So all of these things, as time goes by, your excuses increases. You have more excuse to give, to not attend to class, to not be steadfast in your whatever you are achieving in your akhirah. For example, reading Quran. For example, doing your daily nawafils, prayers, sunnah prayers. And little that we realize that our dedication towards Allah as well decreases. As time goes by, we feel a bit more lazy and we have more excuses. So we used to spend more time with the Quran before we get married, or maybe before we have children. But now, days pass, we didn't open the Quran, we didn't see the Mus'haf. Days pass, subhanallah. Let alone memorizing, let alone reciting it, juz by juz. The scholars, the Salaf, they used to complete the Quran in few days. To compare to us, even we didn't even open a single portion. We will forget our portion now. It's called our hizb, the daily hizb that we also forget. We abandon them. Let alone reading, let alone pondering upon the meanings of the Quran. Oh, subhanallah. And we used to pray our nawafils with our sunnah before. Right? Before, when we heard about the rewards of praying sunnah, 12 or maybe 10 raka'ats daily. 2 raka'ats before Fajr, 4 raka'ats before Zuhur, 2 raka'ats after Zuhur, 2 raka'ats after Maghrib, and 2 raka'ats after Isha. So these 10 or 12 sunans, nawafil prayers, we know the reward. Allah say Allah will promise us a house in Jannah. A house in Jannah will build for us a house in Jannah. But as time goes by, as our priorities increase, as our responsibilities increase, so we tend to leave them behind. Only now maybe we can pray the 2 rak'ahs before Fajr and maybe the witr prayer, let alone our qiyamul layl. What happened to our qiyamul layl? Subhanallah. And bit by bit, the dunya consumes us. Until we go back to our Lord. Until that we realize that, oh, I'm now old. I'm now at the brink of my death. And now I'm nearing my time to go back to my Lord, subhanAllah. So, the Salaf used to say, innama anta ayyam. Verily, you are just this. Idha dhahaba yawmuka, dhahaba ba'duka. Whenever the days pass, then the part of you will pass as well. So, time is very, very crucial in our life. The time is our capital in this life, in this dunya. Whenever, you know, a lot of times that we see Allah swears by time in the Quran. A lot of times. For example, wadduha, by the daybreak, wal fajr, by the dusk. Is it dawn? Dusk. Fajr is dawn or dusk? Dusk, eh? Oh, dawn, sorry. Wal fajr, dawn. Wal layli idha yaksha, by night. Wal layl, all of these are time. And the most important surah in our life, which is one of the shortest surah, which is wal asr, by time. Allah swears by time. And when you ponder upon this surah, you can see it. Only the successful ones are those who believe, those who do good deeds, those who share the message of the truth, and then he is patient upon that process. So these four characteristics, these are the successful person. But how to do righteous deeds without knowing which deeds are the righteous ones? How do we know how to believe in? How do we know who to believe in and what to believe in if we don't know what to believe in? So that's why that is why knowledge comes in. Seeking knowledge comes in. It is very mundane for very, very routine, but it is something that we need. As a human being, this is our food. A human being comprises of two things, of two elements. One is from the earth, which is our body. We are created from the soil, and then we were procreated from the drop of semen, etc., and the process of birth. And the other element that makes us alive, which is the element from the heavens, which is the soul. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. They ask you, O Muhammad, about the ruh. قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. Say to them, O Muhammad, that this ruh is from the affairs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا أُتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And you will not be given the knowledge of the ruh except very little. So we need things that come from the sky, things that come from the heavens. We need the nourishment also from heavens, also from something that is from above to the earth, which is none other than the wahy and the wahyu of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the Quran. To cut it short, which is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can the mic be louder? Can you increase the name? Because I think I'm okay. Thank you. So alhamdulillah, learning about Islam, this is one of the things that is wajib upon us. Things that is wajib for us to do, seeking it is wajib as well. مَا لَا يَتِمُ وَاجِبُ إِلَّا بِهَا فَهُوَ وَاجِبُ. Whatever the obligation will not complete except for this another obligation, then the obligation to seek it is wajib as well. So, learning about the deen, the guidance that lead us from darkness to light, give us which one is good, which one is bad, that guides humanity to think go out from the darkness of ignorance to the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the correct understanding of our deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the steadfastness in seeking knowledge, and may Allah grant us the sincerity. It's very, very important, sincerity in seeking knowledge. And only we seek knowledge not for the purpose of being called a scholar or being called an ustaz, or you wanna get some position in the society. It is only because of for the sake of Allah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are sincere and obedient to Him. Amin rabbil alamin. So unfortunately, again this week, and maybe some weeks to come, the Sheikh is not around. The Sheikh is not available and due to other duties outside. So he will be attending other meetings and other courses. And unfortunately, I'm here. So it will remain, until maybe next week or maybe next 2 weeks. Wallahu alam. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of you patience to bear with my class and in these few weeks, and grant me the ability to deliver this task accordingly, inshallah. Okay, so we are actually in the new book. For those who are new today, or those who are following online, we are actually discussing this new book. We have finished our Precious Sprout class, not Brussels sprouts, Precious Sprout, talking about how to handle, how to welcome babies according to the Sunnah, according to Islam. So now, this is what we call the book Islamic Etiquette. Okay, it is a part of Minhajul Muslim, compiled by Sheikh Abu Bakar Al-Jazairi, rahimahullah. Sheikh Abu Bakar Al-Jazairi is a contemporary scholar that he passed away a few years ago. Subhanallah, one of his great work is Tafsir Al-Jazairi. A very, 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 very good book to for you to go through in terms of Tafsir. And he is one of the teachers in Masjidun Nabawi. So this book actually is part of his big book, which is called Minhajul Muslim. One of the book. So Minhajul Muslim, it talks about all the life, all of the ways of the Muslim, from intention to ibadah to salah to hajj, to adab, to akhlaq, to characters, until the end, until all of the most of the part of how to become a Muslim is covered in this book. But only this book it is taken, translated by Sheikh Jamaluddin Az-Zarabozo. He is from USA, if I'm not mistaken. He translated a lot of works. His books as well, his works are very, very beneficial, subhanallah. One of the books that we discussed here as well, past years, are the Hadith of Jibril, and the long Hadith of Jibril, very, very beneficial, subhanallah. So you can check out Jamaluddin Az-Zarabozo, his books. Maybe it's available in Da'wah Kuna bookstore. So alhamdulillah. So let us go through, alhamdulillah. So we are in the bab, in the chapter of etiquette and behavior towards Allah, part 2. Okay. Page number 16. Those who have the book, for those who don't have the book, I recommend you all to get the book as well, mashallah. Very, very beneficial. You can read it on your own, very, very easy to read and understand. but it's good to go through together. So we have passed some of the etiquettes, the introduction of this bab. Last chapter was related to intention. So this one, we can track back a bit in summary. The etiquette and behavior towards Allah, we talked about being thankful to Allah. You can see the ayat that was brought. Let us highlight the third ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah SWT said, فَاذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. Therefore, remember me by prayer and glorification. I will remember you. Be grateful to me and never be ungrateful to me. If you see in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses two contradictory wordings. First is syukur, and then the opposite of syukur, Allah says kufur, wala takfurun. So the same meaning as well, the same opposites for iman as well is kufur. So you can see here, those who are performing syukur, those who show gratitude to Allah, is actually those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are a mu'min, because they share the same word for the opposites, kufur. And also you can see in other ayat as well, in surah Al-Insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
Inna hadainahu sabila imma shakiran wa imma kafura.
And we have given them two ways. Imma shakiran, whether they will be shakir, thankful to Allah, or imma kafura, or they will disbelieve. They will be forgetful of all of the blessings of Allah. So the word used here throughout the Quran as well, if you see the patterns, kufur. Kufrun ni'mah, we call it in the Sharia. And also subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said through the words of Prophet Sulaiman,
هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي لِيَبْلُوَنِي أَأَشْكُرُ أَمْ أَكْفُرُ.
So when he sees his kingdom, Prophet Sulaiman, he says the greatest kingdom, and the biggest kingdom from the soldiers, the armies are from the humans, from birds, from jinn. So very, very great dominion that he has. So what did he say? هَذَا مِن فَضْلِ رَبِّي. This is from the favors of my Lord. So he attributed all of these bounties to Allah. And then he continues by saying, لِيَبْلُوَنِي. So that he will test me of all the things that he has given to me, from all the things that that I am enjoying now. I have the full power upon the jinn, so I can command the jinn to do anything that I want. As we know, jinns have extraordinary power, strength, that they can, you know, erect buildings, and then they can go into deep seas and all. And he can also command the birds, and he can speak to the birds. All of this, he said, liyabluwani, to test me, liyabluwani. For what? Ashkuru am akfur. Whether I'm thankful or I am not thankful to Allah, I am kufur. I don't attribute this to Allah. So subhanallah, this is one of the examples that we can follow, that everything that you have been blessed with, from the good things that you receive in your life, these are all tests as well. In fact, last week, we talked about tests in general. One of the questions is, what do you say? We talk about that, about somebody who have been tested, how to console him, right? How to console him or her. So don't forget that your good life that you have now, that you are enjoying, you have a lot of time to spend, you have a lot of time to waste. These are all as well tests as well. You have a lot of time. What you do with your time? Relax, enjoy. You know, these are all tests as well. And if I'm not mistaken, one of the quotes from Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah rahimahullah, I rephrase it. He said, the test of easiness, you know, the test of relaxness, is more severe than the test of ibtila, the test of musibah. Subhanallah. If you think about it, yeah, because musibah, you cannot run from it, right? You know what to do. You have to be patient. If anything happens to you, you have to be patient. You have to say istirja, inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un, and you have to make dua so that Allah reward you. But if you have given good things,
all of your life has been so good, so smooth, everything is nice. So this is more difficult. What is your initiative to be thankful to Allah? Ya Allah. If you've been given money, are you using those money, those surplus of money, are you using it for the sake of Allah or only for your pleasure? So these things we need to reflect as well. Not only test in terms of bala or musibah, that is a test. You know, easiness as well are also test. Things that you enjoy, these are all tests from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in surah that we recited always, and the short surah, who remembers? Latus'alunna yawma idhin anin na'im. Surah Al-Hakumut Takathur Hatta Zuntum Muqabir. Kalla sahabu ta'alamun, summa kalla sahabu ta'alamun, kalla wa ta'alamun a'im lakin, la ta'alamun al-jahim, summa ta'alamun. Thumma la tus'alunna, thumma la tus'alunna yawma idhin anin na'im. And that day, on the day of judgment, you'll be asked about your bounties that you have received from Allah, subhanallah. And you'll be asked, the food that you enjoy, that you snap the photo and share with your families, with your friends. These are all ni'mah and bounties from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, never fail to say alhamdulillah. Never fail to say alhamdulillah. And all the things that you enjoy, the food that you consume, use it for the sake of Allah. The energy that is produced from that food, use it for the sake of Allah so that Allah is pleased with us. Amin. Okay, so let's continue from the word below. A Muslim, okay? A Muslim thinks about Allah's knowledge and the fact that He is watching everything that He does under any circumstances. The Muslim's heart then becomes filled with awe, respect, and veneration for Allah. He becomes shy and embarrassed to disobey Him. He will be too shy to go against His commands and disobey Him. This is how we should behave towards Allah. Obviously, it is not proper etiquette at all for a slave to go against his master by disobeying him or by treating him with evil and disrespect while his master is witnessing and watching him. Ya Allah. So before we go to the ayat, so subhanallah, this paragraph is very, very profound, very, very important that we understand the relationship between us and Allah. Most of those who wants to leave the religion amongst the young ones, they forgot the relationship between Him and Allah. What is the relationship between us and Allah? It's not friends. It's not like, you can say anything that you want. It is the relationship between a master and a slave. So if you think about master and slave, so the job, the sole purpose of a slave is to obey the master. He has no right. The thing that he has to do is obey the master. The master say A is A. The master say do that, he has to do that. So this is slave, that you are being controlled. You are owned by the owner. So if you think slave, so whatever that Allah has decreed upon you, of course Allah, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. But for Allah is the highest example. He will never be the same as human, as us. But Allah knows everything about you. So whatever that He decrees for you in your life, it is the best for you. It is the absolute best for you to, to be more closer to Him. And only the wisdom that we cannot know, it is only Allah that knows the wisdom behind it. So if you realize that we can apply this actually in our workplace, subhanallah, everybody can relate in our workplace. Imagine in our workplace, in our office, our boss is beside us, doing work with us, doing any task that has been assigned. He is beside us. He sits beside us. So of course we will show him that we will come early, that we will dress properly, that we will smell nice, that we will do the properly in front of him, the things that we have assigned to, we will do it in the best manner, as efficient as possible. Definitely will be behaved differently if he is not around. Definitely it is different if we do our work from home. Ya Allah. Very, very different. Very, very different. For myself, subhanAllah. We will work harder if the boss is with us, subhanAllah. So imagine Allah. Allah, you cannot hide from Allah from anything. You cannot. And he doesn't sleep. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. And fatigue will not take over Allah. Sleep also, Allah will never sleep. So Allah knows everything that you do. Allah is the highest example. He is watching you all of the time. So one story that I read before from the stories of repentance, and one book, mashallah, he compiled all of the books talking about repentance, people who repented to Allah. So the story was related by a scholar. It's about a man. So a man, this man, he desires this woman. He really, really liked her so much. He, stalked her, followed her where she goes. She is obsessed with this girl, subhanAllah. So one day, he had this opportunity. That he said, this girl is alone. So now this is my chance to go for her lah, and then to ask for her to engage in things that is unlawful. So one night, so he had cornered her in one of the places, and then he said to her, okay, I want you now. And surprisingly, the girl said, okay. She said, okay. But make sure, check that everyone is asleep. Make sure everyone in this town is asleep. And go check. So, okay. So, very pleased with that answer. He is very, very, wow. Okay, excited. And then now, he walked around the town to check whether everybody is asleep. So, he said, yeah, alhamdulillah, everybody is asleep now. Okay, everybody is asleep now. And then she said, what about Allah? What about Allah? Have you checked that Allah is sleeping? SubhanAllah. He said, is he sleeping in this hour? And then he said, what do you mean? He said, the ever-living never sleeps. Upon hearing this, the man realized that, oh, subhanAllah, this girl remind me of Allah. And upon hearing this, his tears fell, flow, and let the woman, left the woman alone and repented to Allah. And a lot of stories like this. Example, one of the people who are stuck in the cave, right? Have you heard of the three person who stuck in the cave? So one of them, he had this opportunity to do zina with this lady. I think it's his cousin. And then because of, there was a famine, so she requested food. So he said, okay, I can give you food, but you have to give me something else. So when he was about to do that, the awful thing, so she said, fear Allah. Fear Allah and do not break the things in unlawful way. So when he heard about this, he stopped as well. He realized that Allah is always watching, so he stopped. And then he uses this as a tawassul, as a means to Ya Allah, I did this for your sake, O Allah, so please release us from this cave. Right? And then they will release each of them. Tawassul, make tawassul. Tawassul means, it's not, okay, subhanAllah, this chapter of tawassul, a lot of confusion happened in Malaysia especially. And they say tawassul is you ask help to anybody. In fact, those who are in the grave also, you say, you ask help from him also is a tawassul. So this is wrong. This is not correct at all. Tawassul means, that is, of course, tawassul means seeking assistance. That you use something to use it as a mean to help you in something. You can do tawassul with your a'malu salih, your good deeds that you have done in your life, that you can say, oh Allah, I did, etc., etc. So please, by this, I do it for your sake, so please help me. This is tawassul that is allowed. Also, you can do tawassul with the people that is still alive. Right? Still alive, and you say, oh, Sheikh so-and-so, please make dua for me. Make dua that my son passes exam, for example. No problem. These are all qadir, hadir. And the condition is, the person that you ask for help is qadir. He is able to do that thing. Any making dua, or maybe make you some coffee, for example. And he is hadir. It is in front of you, that he can hear you. So this condition has to be met. Whereas those who are in the grave, they cannot hear whatever you ask them. In fact, they are being given rizq by Allah. If, for example, one of those people that you ask from is from the Shahid Shuhada, for example. Where was I? So no, tawassul means you have to do it the halal way, the way that the Sharia permits. And subhanallah, this story as well, if you go back to the hadith of sab'atun yudhilluhu Allah fi yawmin la dhilla illa dhilluhu, the day where Allah, the seven who Allah will shade, in the day there is no shade except for his shade. So if you see this, the list, three of them are because of they have this concept of ihsan, fearing Allah in al-ghaib, in alone, in loneliness. For example, the first one, rajulun da'athum ra'atun dhata mansab wa jamal, a woman calls upon this young man, and this woman is dhata mansab, he has a very good lineage, maybe he's from the nobilities, and also she is dhata mansab wa jamal, she's very beautiful. Calls upon this person to do something that is inappropriate together, and then the person will say, inni akhafullah, and the person say, I fear Allah. So this is one of the people that will be shaded by the shade of Allah. The other one, rajulun tasaddaqa, the person who gives sadaqah, until the sadaqah is so secret, his left hand doesn't know the right, give the hand. Okay, this is an expression. Doesn't mean that the hand no. Oh, you give. No. Okay, it is like a expression lah. For example, it is so secret that until his left hand doesn't know, the right hand gives. And also, so this is what we call a very, very secret deed that only Allah knows. And the last one, rajulun dhakarallaha khalian, he remembers Allah when he is alone, and then fafadat aina, and then the eyes flow with tears. When he remembers Allah when he is alone, he thinks about Allah, he thinks about what he has done in his life, and he the tears flow. So these are all secret deeds that only you and Allah knows, that you have that relationship with Allah, a slave and a master. So this is what counts. So this is what we need to implement in our life, that Allah is the master. He controls everything that we do as much as possible. We do the things that is obligatory upon us. And then the other things, inshallah, Allah will facilitate. So does this mean, long story, it's okay, we take our time with this book, because the Sheikh is the one is better to finish this book, but we go slowly, right? Okay, no problem. Usually like that, in December, January, the Sheikh will be very busy, so you can see my face often. Does a slave like us, do we have rights? Do we even have a right towards Allah? right? So that's the question. So if we are a slave, we mean a slave that he doesn't have any rights. Right? If the term slave, that those who fell into somebody's hand, ma malakat yaminuhu, whatever that your right hand possess, or you become a slave to a person that you don't have rights at all. You don't inherit. You don't have any haq. So that means that we and Allah, we don't have a right upon Allah. Is it? No. No, we have rights upon Allah as well. Of course, the adab is not we have rights upon Allah to say that. But this is from the hadith of Haqqullahi ala al-ibad. The hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. If you remember, when Mu'adh ibn Jabal was riding with the Prophet on an animal, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called upon Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Ya Mu'adh. And then he said, Labbaik. He said, Ya Rasulullah, yes. Labbaik wa sa'daik. I hear and I am ready. So what is it you want to say? So he said, Atadiri ma haqqullahi ala al-ibad wa haqqul ibadi ala Allah. Do you know, O Mu'adh, the right of Allah upon the slaves and the right of the slave upon Allah? So this is the sahih hadith. And then he said, the reply is very beautiful. This is the adab, the etiquette of all of the companions that we, even sometimes they know the answer, but they say, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and the Prophet know better. And then the Prophet continues and say, Haqqullahi ala al-ibad. The haq, the right of Allah upon the slave is Allah yushrika. Allah yushriku bihi shay'a. That the slave doesn't commit any shirk to Allah. Doesn't associate any partners towards Allah at all. That is Allah's right. That we worship only Allah. We show our love, veneration, our tadhallul, we only submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-istislam, that you submit to Allah. So this is the right of Allah upon us, upon all of his slaves. And then, what is this right of the slave upon Allah? Atadrima haqqul ibadi ala Allah. What is the right of the slave? So the Prophet said, Allah yu'adhiba man la yushriku bihi shay'a. And the slave, the right of the slave is he or her will not be punished if he doesn't commit shirk towards Allah. So this is the promise of Allah, that Allah will not punish us if we make our tawheed complete, perfected our relationship with him in terms of worshipping him. So upon hearing this, Mu'adh say, Ya Rasulullah, afala ubashirun nas. So do I, Ya Rasulullah, he's very happy you listening to this. So he said, so do I tell all the people? So I tell them, everybody, if you don't make shirk to Allah, then Allah will not punish you. So the Prophet say, La tubashirum. Do not tell them yet. Fayattakilu. If you tell them now, they will only rely on this. They will only rely on this. Subhanallah. So, meaning that they will not do extra mile of deeds. So this is one of the things. And the end of his life, Mu'adh shared this hadith. Subhanallah. So, but the companions is not like us, brothers and sisters. And they are not like us. Even though Badriyun, those who went to war with the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Badr, the first ever battle between Islam and Mushrikun, Allah will look at them and say, if al-mashit, do whatever you want. Qad ghafartu lakum. Allah has already forgiven you all. Because you all attended Badar. So Allah has forgiven you. You can do anything that you want. Having this license as well to do anything that they want, they didn't do whatever they please. Subhanallah. This is Sahaba. As-Sahaba. They are different level. They are in a different level that we, Wallahu Allah, we cannot achieve. But these are our examples to follow. And Sahaba, they varies. Some of them memorizes of Quran. Some of them doing very small deeds but very sincere. So they are. Some of them are warriors. A lot of doors that you can emulate. You can take as an example. So not only you have to do all of things, but make sure the things that you want to do, you do it sincerely for Allah. And this sincerity, as we discussed last week, sincerity makes the difference. Whatever deeds that you do, you read Quran, you only memorize Surah An-Nas, or maybe no, that one's too little. Maybe you memorize in your night prayer. You stand in front of Allah at night when everybody is sleeping. You recited short surahs. You didn't memorize Al-Baqarah, all of these long surahs. You only memorize Juzu Amma, for example. You only memorize Al-Duha. But when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you recite it slowly, with tartil, with proper tajweed, with sincerity. That is the most important thing. And these small deeds that you do, if you are sincere, it will make these small deeds bigger. Kam min a'mal saghir kabura bi niyatihi aw kama qal. There's a saying, how many small deeds that is become big because of the intention. Ya Allah. So intention is very, very important. So this is a reminder for myself as well. I always remind myself, why do you sit in front of here and sharing this? Is it because of you've been told to do, or you need to be sincere? So these are all lifetime struggle, not only normal person struggle. Anybody, sheikh, mashayikh, they have more tests than us. They are going to conferences, for example. They are talking to hundreds, maybe thousands of people. So what is their intention? Do they want to do this because of popularity? Are they chasing all these likes and validity, verification? Or no, it is for the sake of Allah. Also, all of these are struggle for everybody. You don't think that, he's a sheikh, he doesn't have to struggle with it. This is until you set your foot in Jannah. Until you set foot in your in Jannah, so you can say, Alhamdulillah, there's no more struggle. So let us ask Allah to help us in becoming sincere in everything that we do for His sake, especially things related to His deen. Amin, Rabbi Alamin. So let's continue. Oh, so long, in one paragraph. Alhamdulillah. So this is the concept of, who knows, what is the concept of, doing deeds? What is the level of, remember, there are levels of Islam. So which level is this? Yes, Ihsan. Ihsan, very, 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 very difficult level to achieve. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. You worship Allah as though as you see Allah. But you cannot see Allah, so make sure you know that Allah is seeing you. Mushahada. You always have that mushahada. Means you always know that Allah is always watching you. So this is very, very difficult to do. We can say, I can say this in front of everybody. I can say in front of my friends and my family. But when I'm alone, that is the test. You see, the test comes when you are alone. What do you do in those four walls in your room? When you are alone, nobody sees you except for Allah. So this is everybody's struggle. So may Allah give us the strength to become those who are sincere and those who are sincere in their actions, not only in front of people, but behind people as well. Ameen. Rabbal Alameen. Let us continue a bit, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Nuh, مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا. What is the matter with you that you fear not Allah, yani His punishment, and you hope not for reward from Allah, or you believe not in His oneness, while He has created you in different stages, yani first nutfah, and then alaqah, and then mudghah. Subhanallah, this ayat is from Surah Nuh. So this is the conversation of Prophet Nuh and his qawm. If you read a very short surah, maybe 2 pages, if you read Surah Nuh, you can see Prophet Nuh's struggle to his qawm. So why not we see some of the tafsir of Surah An-Nuh. Surah An-Nuh, sorry, not Surah An-Nuh, Surah Nuh. So Surah Nuh, this ayat tells about when he calls, you know, first Nuh, he calls in secrecy. He doesn't do da'wah in open. So after a while, after a few while, he starts to call them openly. So of course they don't wama yu'minu bihi illa qalil. In Allah, in Surah Hud, Allah said none of them believe in Nuh except for very few people. And when he started to build his ark, everybody sakhiru min, they ridiculed, say, oh, this crazy guy, he's doing a boat in the middle of the town. What is he trying to prove? So everybody is laughing, go passing by every time. Kullama marra alayhim sakhiru min. Every time people will come by, see him doing this, and they will laugh. So this is the struggle of Nuh. And the da'wah of Nuh, we can see his sabr, we can see he had been patient for a long time. How many years? Who knows the exact time? Yeah, 1,000 minus 50. In Quran said, Alfasana illa khamsin. 1,000 minus 50 is 950 years of da'wah. Ya Allah. We da'wah only a few months, we already, it's okay lah, I don't want lah to do da'wah anymore. Alright, so 950 years of da'wah. Subhanallah. So this is the struggle of Nuh. So let's see a bit. That's why he said to the qawm, Malakum la tarjuna lillahi malakum. What is wrong with you? We can see, maybe we can read some tafsir Sa'di. Malakum la tarjuna lillahi waqara. Ay, la takhafuna lillahi azamatan wa laysa lillahi indakum qadran. Why do you not consider Allah as a very special place in your heart, in His lordship, that you don't fear Him, Azama, His glory, and laisa indakum qadra, you don't put Allah at the proper place, that you do whatever you want, you don't believe Him, you even commit shirk. If you know the history of shirk, the history of worshipping other than Allah started with the people of Nuh. They worship all the five salihun. So we can go to that later. So Allah say, wa qad khalaqakum atwara. Yani Allah has created. Why do you say so? You see, Prophet Nuh uses this example. Allah has created you in stages. So why you don't fear Allah? Why did he say that? So let us hear. وَإِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَنْشَأَهُمْ مِنَ الْعَدَمِ. Why does Prophet Nuh reminded them about their creation? Because Allah created you from nothing, right? Inna alladhina ansha'ahum min Adam. Allah has created you from nothingness. You are nothing before this. Qadirun, He is able. Ala ay yu'idahum ba'dal mawtihim. And He will, of course, nothing, creating something from nothing is more difficult than recreating something that is spoiled. Repairing something, right? Repairing something, for example, the thing is already there. So whenever you die, so Allah can resurrect you. Why you don't, so Prophet Nuh said, why don't you believe in the resurrection? He created you from nothing, from nothingness. Right? So it is more easier for Allah to repeat the process rather than to initiate a process. Right? For example, if you are in project management, those who are doing projects, we have templates, right? Templates. So we just use the templates. We have already done it before. Right? Very easy. So that's why this exact wording was used. So At-Tawara means stages. What are the stages of creation of mankind? So this is see here, nutfah, alaqah, and mudghah. Maybe you can zoom in these words. What does it mean by nutfah? Who ever heard of this word nutfah? Where? Over there. And nutfah. See, this is the first stage of creation. Nutfah means a drop of semen, a lot of fluid. We can see this creation process in few surahs. One of it is Surah Al-Mu'minun. Okay, Allah SWT said, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have created mankind from the mixture of water and tin. And tin, what is it? Clay. Is it something like a clay? ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. And then we made them nutfah. And then we put it in the rahim, in the womb of the mother. ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَا النُّطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقَنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. And then we make the nutfah becomes an alaqah. So after the drop of fluid is being attached to the womb, and then it becomes something that is clingy, which is called alaqah, like a leech kind of thingy. Alaqah. And then فَخَلَقَنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create after that alaqah mudghah, some flesh, some kind of flesh, mudghah. That is the word mudghah, some bits of flesh, mudghah. فَخَلَقَنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. Okay. Nutfah is the fluid, and then alaqa is a leech-like clingy thing. When you say alaq, something that is you cling something, alaqa. Okay. And then also you can see some scientific findings that alaqa, if you translate directly, is like it says leech. And then we see also the picture of a leech is also compared to the alaqah is the same. Subhanallah. And then mudghah is something that is chewed, some flesh, some little bits of flesh that has been chewed. You can see it like a thing that is mudghah. Mudghah, flesh, some bits of flesh. Okay. And then fakasawna al-'idh, and then فَخَلَقَنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا. And then Allah said, Allah will make that little flesh with idham. Idham is bones. Creating some bones inside of it. فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ lahma. And then the bones will be covered with flesh. Betul lah. Okay? Flesh. Flesh. Yalah. Lahma is your meat. It's called meat, right? ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So praise be to Allah, the greatest, the best of creator. Which means there are any other creator than Allah? No. So he's the best of the best. تَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ. So Allah say أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. So okay. So that is the creation. So this creation is not mentioned in the previous books. This process of creation, it wasn't mentioned in the previous books. It wasn't mentioned in the previous book except for the Quran. Ya Allah. Okay. And then what is the time now? Oh, already towards the end. Alhamdulillah. So I think we can stop here. Okay. Good to, you know, stop and, you know, ponder all of all these things so that we understand. So the word is used here, a drop of fluid, and then becomes a blood clot, alaqah, something that is clingy as well. And then piece of flesh, a piece of flesh. Mudra is piece of flesh, and then covered with bones and covered with other flesh, and then develop into a human being. So all of this, as the Prophet mentioned, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith, a very famous hadith, arba'ina yawman, all this process in 40 days, right? Inna yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi arba'ina yawman. 40 days. Your creation is being concentrated in the mother's womb for 40 days. And then becomes a nutfa, alaqa, mudgha. And then Allah will, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ فِيهِ ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّحُ. And then the malaikat, the angel will come. Allah will send an angel, will give them the life, the soul, the ruh. And then he will write four things. بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِهِ وَعَمَلِهِ وَأَجَلِهِ وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. So four things that has been written in our womb. The qadar in our womb is بِكَتْبِ رِزْقِ, your provisions. How many do you get in this life until you will pass away? وَعَمَلِهِ, your deeds. Your deeds, good or bad, all will be written here. When are you getting married? Who is your future spouse? Is written in amal, your amal. Okay, and then wa ajal, your death. When you will die? Okay, number three. And the fourth one is whether you will end up in hell or heaven. Shaqiyun aw sa'id. Ya Allah. Shaqi means, are you miserable? Are you from amongst the losers, or sa'id, or for those who are happy in paradise? So these are the four things that will be written in the wombs. Okay. So this is the matter of qadar. Inshallah, if we, you know, have time, we can discuss more about qadar. A very, very important thing, qadar. A lot of misconceptions as well about qadar. Some people say, oh, it's been written for me, so why should I, you know, do things, right? Why should I strive to please Allah? Allah has been written me to be from amongst the people of hellfire. So why should I, you know, why should I do extra? Why should I repent? So these are all misconceptions that we need to clarify to the ummah, inshallah. So inshallah, I'll stop here. We can see. Can continue next week. Next week, inshallah, I will be around as well. So, those who wants the sheikh can wait. Skip class, okay. But don't skip lah. Important is the consistency. Okay, once a week is very, very minimum. Very, very minimum. As long as you can hear some reminders. These are not reminders from me. This is what I quote is from the book and from the Quran and Sunnah. So, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Maybe, inshallah, you will remember. And maybe, inshallah, all these things benefit. وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah said, remind, for the reminders will benefit the believers. Wallahu alam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us what is beneficial and make us beneficial to others and increase our knowledge. So I open for discussion, Q&As, if there's any. No? Ada persoalan? Any question? Any confusion? So everybody knows about the creation of humankind, the process of creation, embryology. In scientific terms, embryology, right? Subhanallah. So whatever that is in line with science, we say, yeah, mashallah. But what are the things that, what if the thing that is contradictory with science? What do we say? Science is better? No, right? Of course. Maybe there are a few things, I'm not going to go through. There are a few reasons why it is contradictory. And one of it is science is still developing. If you see things change during their researches and their R&Ds, they are new findings. So these are one of the reasons why they are contradictory. And then as well, one of the issues as well, some of the narrations are not authentic. For example, the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud talks about the process of creation. There are some terms that is introduced by the Sahaba as well, that is put inside there. It is called idraj, something that the Sahaba adds to make it like easier to convey. It's called idraj, and this is from the sciences of al-hadith, so we don't have to discuss it now, inshallah, later inshallah. So jazakumullah khairan. If there's no questions, no feedback, so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify all of our affairs and not make us, not leave us alone to ourselves, even for the blink of an eye. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us, forgive the sins of our parents, forgive the sins of our loved ones, our family, our friends, and those who are still living and those who have passed away in the state of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them mercy and grant them Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like how He has gathered us here in this majlis, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us in a majlis that is better than this, in Jannat al-Firdaus. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify the affairs of the Ummah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help those who are still struggling in the other countries. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help them against their enemies. May Allah safeguard them. May Allah give them food, give them water to drink, and give them shelter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure all their illness and sufferings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all as an ummah and bring back the izzah of Muslimin. And we end with tasbih kafara. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.